Welcome to Witness from the BBC World Service, where history is told by those who were there. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
You're listening to the Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Kirsty Reid. Today I'm taking you back to November 1938 and an iconic event in the history of Nazi Germany, Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. I've been speaking to Nora Krug, a German writer and artist who has researched what happened on that day in her hometown of Karlsruhe. On the 9th of November 1938, members of Adolf Hitler's Nazi Party led attacks on Jewish homes and businesses across Germany. Karlsruhe, a city in the southwest of the country, was no exception.
The two synagogues that existed were basically burned down. Fires were set. Germans, like in many other cities, went and destroyed the shops of Jewish shop owners. People were harassed in the streets, beaten with umbrellas and sticks. Some were arrested and taken to a nearby concentration camp.
Extract from Der Führer, Karlsruhe's local Nazi paper, November the 10th, 1938. Spontaneous demonstrations could not be avoided. During the course of yesterday morning, a large group of Jews were arrested and taken to the police station. This event was accompanied by cheering from the angry crowd that filled the streets around Adolf Hitler Square.
Like many Germans of my generation, I grew up with an immense sense of guilt. Inherited guilt, basically, but also a very abstract guilt. It was more collective than individual.
Nora Krug has investigated the role her relatives might or might not have played in events in Germany under Nazi rule. She knows they weren't high-ranking officials, but she wanted to find out as much as she could about their lives. Take, for example, her mother's father, Willy.
He was a driving teacher after his Jewish employer left Germany. I think it was in the early 30s. He was given by the employer a certain amount of money, and with that money he bought himself a car and started a small driving school.
So would Willy, the driving instructor, have been in the crowds on Kristallnacht, smashing windows or setting fire to the synagogues in Karlsruhe?
One thing that I found out at the archive by folding out an old map of the city from 1938, I saw that his driving school was located right across from the synagogue. I knew that it was impossible that he wouldn't have seen or noticed what happened. Even if he wasn't at the office at that moment, there was no way he could have not seen at least the consequences of what had happened the night before.
But whatever Willy saw on or after that night, it was never mentioned in Nora's family. So what stories did she grow up hearing about her grandfather?
So one story that was repeated was that my grandfather, who had worked for a Jewish linen salesman before the war, hid this man in a shed in the backyard of his mother-in-law's house.
What, so saved him?
That was never part of the story, whether that man survived or not, but just the notion that he had hidden him in a garden shed. And I was very critical towards that story because it sounded to me more like a story that made us feel better about, you know, being German, basically. The other thing that my grandfather always told my mother and aunt was that he didn't like Hitler because of the way he screamed all the time.
Going to school in West Germany in the 1990s, Nora Krug learnt a lot about Hitler and about the Holocaust, the murder of millions of Jews by the Nazis.
We learned the facts, obviously, of what had happened in our country. We went to concentration camp museums in different countries. I remember at least three that we visited.
And yet, despite all that studying and these class trips, you say you never spoke to your schoolmates about your families and their families.
Yes, we never asked each other about that. I mean, I used to think, growing up, I used to think, well, what was there to talk about? It just always felt like it never came up in conversations. But I didn't realize back then that it didn't come up because it was a taboo, basically.
It was after Nora left home and settled in the USA, marrying an American Jewish man, that her desire to know more about her homeland and her own family history took hold.
So I went to the archive and typed in my grandfather's name, and the whole file about his life popped up. After the war, under the American sector, every German had to fill out a questionnaire that would tell the US military something about their life. I held the original piece of paper in my hand that he filled out with his, you know, blue fountain pen. And that was a very, very powerful experience for me because it felt like he was finally speaking to me. So one of the first questions in the form was, were you a member of the Nazi Party? And he checked yes. And that came as a huge shock to me because nobody in my family would have suspected that. Only 15% of all Germans were members in the Nazi Party. Why did he join? The file basically revealed his decision page by page. What he said was that in 1933, he wanted to buy a driving school. In this particular driving school, parked the car of the biggest Nazi, basically the Nazi Gauleiter of Karlsruhe, who was also responsible for sending thousands of Jewish men and women to concentration camps. And his car was parked in the driving school my grandfather wanted to buy. I asked myself, were there other options? Did he really have to buy this particular school? Were there other schools he could have bought? Could he have continued working as a chauffeur, which he had done previously?
But people might perfectly well say that 1933, he couldn't have known at that point what was going to happen. You know, he wanted to get his business started and it seemed like a reasonable thing to do.
You know, a lot of people tell me that when I tell them about my grandfather's story, but I always feel like most people owned a radio, and if you listened, you knew a lot already about what was happening in the country. And the other thing is that about an estimated 77,000 Germans were killed because they resisted the Nazi regime. And a lot of Germans decided not to do that. And I think it's just much more of a complex issue.
And Nora's grandfather's story is complex. It's nuanced. Because he had joined the Nazi Party in 1933, after the war, the American occupiers labelled him an offender, the second most serious level out of the five they used to categorise German citizens. Willy had to get friends and acquaintances to testify on his behalf in order to be allowed to work again. And Nora's discoveries about him and other members of her family have changed the way she thinks, not just about them, but also about her hometown.
When I walk through the main street of Karlsruhe today, I'm always reminded of this horrible parade that took place in 1933, where a group of social democrats was arrested and paraded through the streets. Many people of Karlsruhe came and cheered and sang spiteful songs, and these people were brought to the police station and then finally into a camp. And one of them, who was Jewish, was strangled in the camp, and it was made to sound like it had been suicide. So when I walk down the street, I have these pictures now in my head, and I think that's a very valuable experience because I think we tend to understand ourselves as living in a historic vacuum. And no matter where you come from, I think you need to understand that you carry your country's history within you. We are only the way we are because of what was before.
Nora Krug was speaking to me, Kirsty Reed, for Witness. Her illustrated memoir, Heimat, is available in English and German. That's it for this edition of the Witness podcast. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.